The Smoking Time Jazz Club is a traditional jazz group that's been making a name for itself over the last few years, playing in Frenchman Street clubs and on Royal Street. Bassist John Joyce and clarinetist Jimbino Vegan met years back while playing music in Barcelona. Today, they're celebrating the release of the Smoking Time Jazz Club's third record, entitled Oh Sister Ain't That Hot.
Man, it's been good. Sister Ain't It Hot!
Yeah! Man, it's so hot.
It's been great. People have been having a fun time and telling us it sounds good. And
yeah.
Hearing it in our friends' stereos and stuff.
So. And a whole process of recording is tightens the band up. You know, we set ourselves a deadline. We got to get these songs
real
tight.
Yeah, it really makes the...
And we're like
working them up,
you know, just so we can nail them on the day. And now we've recorded it, we nailed it on the day, and now we're relaxing and we're messing around with the songs, which we're very comfortable with. So it was like a goal that we succeeded, and now we're on the next level.
Yeah, it's nice to have it out just 2 months after you record it, because sometimes I've been involved with projects that can take a while, and this one we're ready and just recorded it all in just one or two takes each song and a live recording, and just this is how we do it. No studio tricks, no overdubs, nothing, just live.
You guys specialize in the really early styles of guys like Jelly Roll Morton and King Oliver, which is different from what we often think of today as traditional jazz, in that it's more arranged and group-oriented as opposed to sort of head solo form of a lot of stuff. Maybe you can elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah,
the fun part is playing the old New Orleans style as the ensemble, where all the horns and everybody plays together, and it makes that lively, bubbling New Orleans sound of cacophony and greatness, you know? And we tried to capture some of that. That's like the real hardest part, I think, of a traditional music.
Yeah, it's very much about the group. And it's a really lovely group of people. It's a pleasure to work with them.
We are one of the only groups in town that have like a pretty big band on a regular basis. There's a lot of them, but there's financial concerns when you have four horns and a singer. And a lot of the musicians aren't so used to that. So we're kind of a friendly group that wants to make the music sound better and not as worried immediately about how much money you're going to make in the bar that night, but that you want the music to sound better. Yeah. It's very idealistic.
Do you think you could pick one of the songs on the record and tell me something about it?
Yeah, sure. There's this song called The Froggy Bottom Blues. It was made not so famous by a lady called Merlene Johnson. She was called the Ya-Ya Girl, and that was her nickname or stage name. And she was a blues singer from the 20s, and the original is just her singing and someone playing piano. And we made this after like a year and a half of playing this live. We kind of made it one of our opuses. Sounds nothing like the original. I mean, we're like 8-person band playing this old blues song just from piano.
And you do Black Bottom Stomp on here, which was an early Jelly Roll Morton and Red
Hot
Peppers
quintessential recording, right? Traditional jazz song. Like that one we did right from like it's our version of what they did. We didn't really make it so much like our own thing, but that song is just like in our minds, it's so great as it is. We just wanted to do it like that because I just love that recording, and it's got so much power with the old recording.
What is it that draws you guys to the sort of early 20th century hot jazz style that you play as opposed to other traditional styles of jazz? If that's not too vague a question.
Well, no, I think I understand. What I like about it was the birth of jazz, and it was the time when none of the rules had been institutionalized, or everything was fresh insofar as what you can do. And you can really hear the bands, the early Louis Armstrong stuff and the Jelly Roll Morton, is he's collecting an eclectic style of music and turning it into what is now known as jazz. And I feel like it has the raw vigor of an early creation of a genre that comes through very clearly. And I've played for people who say, oh, we don't like jazz, and they're like, whoa, this is different. you know like some not very well informed people. But they can hear the freshness in this music, and
yeah, they don't know that they think all the jazz is just Miles Davis,
yeah,
you know, or Kenny G or whatever. Like, not in New Orleans, but other places. And then they're like, oh, that's jazz. We do like jazz.
You know, this was the party music of the day, and we want to play live party music that people can get down to and really enjoy, and that also has a high level of artistic integrity.
You guys have spent a lot of your time as a street band, in particular, out on Royal Street, right?
We play there and in all the bars along Frenchman and in the Quarter. And
I think that's really important to who we are as a band, and our ethos in the music really is to give the music to people for free, to families. We want to play for the kids who can't come to the bars. We want to play for the grannies who wouldn't come to the bars.
Yeah, there's magic.
We
want to
play for strangers. Yeah, there's theatrical magic. You're not the street is the stage, and you're not the band on the band stage. You could be as much as you want to be.
What's the overall situation been like for street musicians the last year or two?
For in New Orleans, it's a bit political. I mean, it's really competitive, and there's so many musicians here, and it's very migratory, where it's seasonal, you know. So they just come in at a certain time, like around now, Mardi Gras is just full up, and it's really difficult to play all over the place, and there's zoning problems with the residents, and they don't want music certain here or there, and that there can be problems. We have our little niche where we just play once or twice a week here and there, and it kind of works out for us, and I think people just find that. So we don't have a problem, but we kind of play kind of by the rules, basically. We're not and we have been kind of ninja guerrilla buskers in the past in other cities, but here I find myself, I want to do what is right because I see the people every day. So I want to, when we come, mostly people are like, oh, great, you guys are here today. We love your music, for the most part. Not everyone, but, store owners, and we have nice friends that are around. And in the bars, we just try to have a nice rapport with people.
Yeah, the situation fluctuates. I think at the moment, it's not so great. Music on Frenchman. We used to enjoy playing on the evenings in Frenchman on the street. And now that's being cracked down on, and it seems ludicrous because that's why people come to New Orleans to see the music everywhere. And this city has got a history, it's part of its history of having music everywhere, you know, people playing outside, and that's the whole idea of the city. So it seems very counterintuitive for the authorities to want to discourage street music.
Is that from club owners, do you think?
No, I
don't know. I think maybe, I can see there's, it can be difficult, but it's like my friend said today, if you don't like hearing the trains, it's probably not a good thing to move next to the train track.
Yeah, don't come to New Orleans if you don't like live
music.
Well,
not New Orleans, but certain areas. But I can see that if you've been somewhere your whole life and all of a sudden something comes in on you and all of a sudden it's really loud and you can't sleep and you don't have anything to do with it, I don't want to bother people either. That's not my job.
I agree.
At all. So that's why we're kind of playing by the rules, but I want to be able to have music all over. And I think there's some committees and stuff going on, in New Orleans that helps that, for the people at Mimi's and the people at different bars who have licenses now.
Yeah.
And there's things looking up, but there is a certain, kind of bottom level element that's move on, move on, move on. And that is discouraging.
Yeah, well, our situation is pretty fragile insofar as playing street music. Because the police are always very high-handed. They never explain why they are kicking us off now when for the previous year everything's been fine. And they didn't tell us anything about the street or the street repairs that are happening on Royal, which really disturbed most of the musicians' patterns. But it's totally true that the demand for musicians who want to play on the street far outstrips the availability of spaces. And we sometimes go out, you know, very early in the morning to hold a spot. And that's a sad fact, because if you think that these other people who maybe don't want to be disturbed by music, well, if they have a pedestrian zone, then they won't. I prefer to listen to a band than a bunch of traffic, than cars revving up and loud
t-shirt shops.
Yeah, and loud jambalaya. And loud music coming out of the cars. You could actually listen to a band. So I feel like there's a lot to be gained. They should actually. I think New Orleans would profit as a city if they extended the pedestrian zone in the French Quarter. To really make it, to encourage more musicians. There's definitely, they would have no problems filling streets with good music, quality music from visiting bands. So far as money, we can make as good money on the streets as we can in the bars and have better time. And, you know, it's a family situation. So it will attract, I mean, there's lots of good musicians out there, but... It's a win-win situation, which I can't understand why the local government doesn't want to cotton on to. But this situation really does fluctuate, because where Johnny and I met was in Barcelona. And since we left, for some reason or other, in an effort to tidy up or become more chic, the city has clamped down on the street musician scene, which used to be fabulous. Used to be as good as New Orleans.
Yeah,
they have a famous street called the Ramblas, which is basically a 1 mile stretch of street performers. And they've crushed it, and the city has lost a great deal of soul, and it's no longer, many of my friends no longer, it's no longer on their tour path.
Yeah, they,
you know,
talk about things here I've read before, like people wanting to be really good to the musicians here because they don't want to run them out of town again. Because in the 20s, it got, or 17, you know, 1907 or 1920, it got so bad everybody had to leave, all the musicians. And it was like, yeah, it was a mass exodus. And yeah. I mean, the city is really concerned about that happening again. Like after Katrina, in a lot of ways, the music, I mean, you know, binded the city together. Yeah. And so I think that I read things before where city council members are like, we actually don't want that to happen again. Like they all left here for like one reason or another, and that was a travesty for the city.
Yeah, I view this kind of.
But people stayed here, but still, the legend is that everyone left. And that for one reason or another, like a lot of things culminated, but it's like economy and things change. But
for me, it's like having birds in your city. So if you want to have birds in your city and you want to wake up to the nice sound of birdsong, then you got to have nice trees and you can't chop them down. And then also you've got to have quiet streets so you can hear the birdsong. And it's pretty much the same with having musicians attracting your to your city. You got to make the environment friendly for them, and then you gain, your life is spiritually enhanced. So, and it's very fragile, it's easily cut off, and it can die and wither in 1 or 2 years, and on the other side it can really come to life, and with intelligent state planning, city planning, and intelligent people,
happened after
things
Katrina,
can boom. Yeah,
the last
and
7, 8 years ago.
And you can attract people to your city, and you can really bind people together and make it a more beautiful place. In London, they pedestrianized large parts of the center when the new Lord Mayor came in, and it's been nothing but a huge success. Every you know, there were people who like said it would be no good at the beginning, but now everybody loves it.
That's what they're doing in New York too, making huge. Like
it's
Times
the future,
Square
baby.
And everything.
All the politicians out there, listen.
Times Square is like all pedestrian now.
Sorry,
that's okay. I'm not used to sound effects. That's a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank
here.
You guys for dropping by.
Great to be here. Great to be here.
Anytime.